You're listening to The Soul Chronicles, the podcast navigating life and times in the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America.
So welcome to another episode of The Soul Chronicles, where we talk about our life and times navigating the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America. On today's episode, we will be discussing one of the most prolific artist, I don't even know if that's the right word, right? Of modern time, probably the last 20 years, producer, musician, I guess, artist, Pharrell. We'll also be talking a bit about brand collaboration. So, Nikita.
Yeah, I'm so happy to finally be talking about Pharrell. I know you have some really great one-on-one stories with him, and so interesting because when I think about Pharrell, his music isn't the first thing that comes to my mind. I mean, obviously, Happy will go down as probably one of the most recognizable songs of the century, right? But for some reason, my mind always goes to collaboration when I think about him. I usually just first start thinking about all of the people that he's worked with, all the songs he's produced, and how I'm just thinking, I don't know that I've ever heard people say a negative word about him.
You were very integral in structuring how we did deals with the artist because it wasn't the typical ambassador deal where they get a check, you know what I mean? So again, any artist that worked really closely with us, those are the ones who we felt like when we had opportunities like doing shoe collaborations and stuff like that, you know, those are the ones on the list. So Pharrell was like totally one of those artists. But I first met him on a video shoot. Okay, you know how we would always show up on videos with our like trunk full of sneakers.
Girl, and those, remember those big bags? I still have one. I have two, I think. Those huge bags on rollers.
Yes.
Remember, it was like the sales guys used to use them.
Yes.
It could fit like a ton of sneakers in them, and we would show up lugging that. Oh, gosh.
Yes. Yep. So I went to a video shoot, and this video shoot was for ODB and Khalees. Now, ODB had passed, but they were just still, you know, doing the video, and Khalees was on this track, that Hey Dirty Baby I Got Your Money, something like that.
Oh yeah,
hey, sorry, I cannot sing.
I love that.
Yeah, so
dope is Khalees, by the way.
Like, I know.
She's so fly, it don't even make no sense, but anyway.
Yes, so they're all on the same label, Star Trek, and I think Neptunes had produced that track, right? So I went to the set, I brought a bunch of stuff for Khalees, who is so sweet always. And then just kind of like, it was my first time meeting Pharrell, talk with the manager, Rob, and I don't know if Lloyd was there that day, but it's my first time meeting Pharrell. And I was like, who is this guy? Because he was like talking up a storm. Oh my God. He was just like so, and when I say conceited, it wasn't in a negative way. It was like a way that made you laugh. He was like, yeah, because I'm the one who got everybody in New York on Versace. And he was just like saying all this stuff. And he was like, yeah, because I have a video shoot next week. And if you should send me some dunks. Send me some dunks, because guess what? I'm going to have everybody wearing dunks. Send me some dunks. And lo and behold, he really did. I'm like,
wow.
I'm sorry. He really, really made the dunk like a hot item. So anyway, so I sent him the shoes for this video, and it wasn't like a big video. It was just like some random video. But this started my relationship with him and the whole team, right? And of course, whenever people get the Nike person, they're like, and when are you going to put our music in a commercial? I got this song, and it would be perfect for Nike. And I'm like, whoa, 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 one step at a time. One step at a time, right? Let me send you these sneakers, and you know, let's just kind of like take the relationship from there. So we started there. Of course, you know, I would kind of like always send them product. And then, Nikita, we had this project that you kind of came up with, the limited edition collaboration. Maybe you can, if you remember, I know some of the stuff you don't remember, but we had this idea to do these collaborations with a selection of artists and where the proceeds was going to go to charity. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. So again, you know, we were just always thinking of ways that we can give the artists something back for their involvement, but at the same time, respect the brand's stance of not paying for these collaborations. And so I was trying to come up with a way that I could get all of our departments together, because again, at the time we were music, film, and TV. And so I figured that if we could come up with a special shoe that each person who we got involved could design a special makeup of whatever their favorite shoe was, then we could make a limited run of those. I don't remember, Muhammad, did we do 100 or 500 of those?
500.
Okay, so we would do 500. We would sell them, and the proceeds would go to charity. But then I also...
And it was still a charity of their choice. So they got to select the charity that they wanted to donate to.
To support, yeah. And I think I also, maybe I gave them 100 pairs too. I remember it was some big number of shoes that I just gave the artists.
Right.
So that they could value them in any way they wanted.
Right.
Right. So in my mind, I'm like, if I give Pharrell 100 pairs of shoes and he auctioned them off for $10,000 each, well, that's his business, right?
Right.
Or if he decides to run some sort of contest where a lucky fan will get whatever, you know, because that was the only thing I could do, is all I had was product. So I'm like, whatever the value is that they're able to help us generate around this particular product, well, then here's 100 pair for you to figure out how to flip on your own, and mm-hmm. that ain't got nothing to do with me, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we did Pharrell, and we did Sarah Jessica Parker, because you went on that trip to talk to her about designing her mm-hmm. shoe. Mm-hmm. Who else did we do?
Because I thought they were like Eminem, and we did Nelly.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
and there could have been somebody else, but those are the ones I remember. So the way that it happened with Pharrell, so we did Eminem probably first because he was like top of the list. And then we did something with Nelly because Nelly was just super hot at the time and really wanted to do some collaboration. So then it was time for us to choose the next artist. And I remember that someone at the brand suggested Lenny Kravitz. Mm. Right. I mean, I guess they were trying to think of like who was big and who would appeal to all different kinds of people. I mean, I guess I don't know what the thinking was behind it, but I was like,
girls, there was a woman who was in there at her desk. Like, who do I want to meet? I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
Look, was I that woman? Look, was it me?
It was not you. It was not you. It was somebody. And I was like, Lenny Kravitz? I'm like, does Lenny Kravitz even wear shoes?
Right. I don't think so.
All right. And so again, this is one of those things where like there could be somebody really big, because I'm sure at this time he had some big hits out.
Yeah, probably American Woman or something.
Right. And I was like, I like called Pharrell's label. And I'm like, guys, can you put together his press kit? Like, I mean, because like, I don't think, you know, they were a bit disconnected. Because we were the ones who were like
on the forefront.
Right. At the forefront of what's happening in entertainment. So I didn't expect people at campus to know, but they're supposed to take our advice. Like, Lenny Kravitz is not it. So I had to prepare like this whole presentation. Again, we talked about them presentations. On like Pharrell and, you know, the Neptunes and just the work they were doing and the impact they were having on music. So let me tell y'all, artists, we hustle for y'all. Y'all don't know, but internally we used to hustle for y'all, right?
Yes, because it was a whole situation with people just not trusting. I mean, because listen, I'm going to take a little bit of a sidebar. If someone in product design said to you, well, we really think that the upcoming fabrication that we're going to see next spring is going to be satin laces. You know what they would say? Okay, let me see. Okay, you think that's what it is? Then let's go. If someone says, well, you know, it's really going to be a chunky sole. If someone says, you know what, it's really, you know, people really don't want to see our logo black, splashed everywhere. So it's really about subtle logos on product. You take those people's word for it because you hired them to be the expert in their field. But somehow when it comes to entertainment and sports.
No. Somehow when it comes to two black girls. Now that we're having this conversation, it's coming even more apparent to me that that's why it was so easily dismissible. I don't think it was because it was entertainment. No, who are those girls? You know, at the end of the day, they don't know more than me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let me continue.
Where's the lie?
Yes.
Stop me if I'm lying.
You know, so finally, you know, I submitted this whole presentation and they were like, okay. And I'm like, he is really impacting style, that trucker hat whole look. I just felt like he was just really, when you call it, say influencer, right? He crossed hip hop. Yes. It was skate. It was like music. It was just everything. I was just like style. I was like, this is our guy. So finally they were like, okay. So I'm
and
like,
his
all right.
Talent was undeniable too. That was the kind of talent that, from my perspective, I could see him being around for decades. Just yes. From his talent perspective.
Yes, as he has been. So as finally they were like, okay. So I'm like, okay, guys, Pharrell, you're in. So you just have to let me know which sneaker you're going to choose. And he was like, I already know. Of course, I'm doing a dunk. I had to like sit down with them one-on-one with like a sketch of the shoe, talk about the colors, the fabrics they wanted to use, any special things. And he was like, listen, I have this watch. It's De Grosseno something. Y'all, I might be saying that because, you know, I'm not like high-end luxury like that, right? He was like, De Grosseno or something, right? And I was like taking my notes and I was like, what is he talking about? He was like, it's like ostrich. I could be wrong, right? It was eel skin, and that's what he wanted the sneaker to be made of. It was the same material as the watch. And you know, for me, I was kind of like working with the designer too, so for me to be able to tell the designer what he wanted, girl, I had to like call Barney's. And I'm like, hi, my boss, yes, he wanted to get a watch. It's something like De Grosseno, but I don't know how to spell it. And they were like, oh, yeah, you're talking about whatever the brand name is, yeah, I'm talking about, yeah. Right? And so when she told me that, I was then able to look up the watch and the band and send that to the design team to kind of like try to match it as close as possible, right? So,
yeah, but that's another level of collaboration too, because we were collaborating internally with all these different departments within the brand too, to bring any of these things to life. But anyway, yeah. So you got the fabrication of the watch. Yeah. You gave it to the designer.
Yeah, I gave it to the designer. And then, you know, every step of the way, I would have to like then go back to the artist and say, hey, look at this. Is this right? Is this right? So I just remember this one particular time I had to go to meet Pharrell to like show him something or something like that. And it was at the record label office. And this is one of the things you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. If this happens in the studio, whatever, whenever you're around artists, and you know, and they're like playing their music or something, and you know, with the new music in the studio, and you gotta be like bobbing your head. You know how it is, Nikita. You know, like you're like, oh God, I hate going in the studio sometimes because you just gotta sit there and everybody's like bobbing their heads, and you're like, oh God, this is just too much. So this particular day, he had got a new video and he had just got it. It was like straight from like the editor. And it was probably like a bunch of people, his management, label people, all in the office. And he was like, okay, everybody sit down. We're going to like watch the video. And it was the video for...
I know where this is going. God, I know exactly where this is going.
I knew this. Oh my God. I forgot the name of the video just now. Okay. Anyway, he plays the video and God, what is this song, guys? I'll get it. He's got this video and then, you know, they're like skating and it's like super cute. And then after the video is done, he says, so what do you guys think? Listen, we have to go around the room one by one and tell him what we thought about this video. And I was like, Lord, was I paying attention? You know, so it gets to me and I'm like, what stood out to me is the girls. I was like, the girls just like look like super cute, regular girls. They don't look like some video chicks. They look like just regular girls. And one of the girls was Lauren London. You remember that video? Yes.
Wow.
And I feel like this might have been like her first video or something. So yeah, she was in the video and this other super cute brown skin model actress or whatever. So, and he really liked that because that was one of the things he went for in this video. He just wanted the girls to be like cool, cute girls that you would like talk to if you're a regular guy, not like some super high-end model. So, you know, he was happy. I was like, okay, good. My contribution was valid. Right?
Oh, that's good. Because I was sitting on pins and needles thinking you were going to say, that he had a bunch of Nike product in there, and they was like, "Where's our deal?"
No. Yeah, no. He just, but it's interesting because you know how sensitive artists are. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was so sensitive, just like all of them are. Preempt all the artists that I work with. This is the kind of thing that they would do, where they just need feedback and they need validation, right? So yes. Fine.
Was it the Frontin video?
Frontin, yes, exactly. Thank you. I was about to like Google it and try to figure this out. Exactly. That is the video. Yes.
Yeah.
So fine. So we moved on. His shoes eventually came out. I think he decided to donate his funds. And at this time, like people that they were just kind of like coming up, they didn't have their own foundations or charity or anything. So he wanted to donate something to like literacy, some kind of literacy project. So yeah, we did that. And then again, so this is an artist that I'm working closely with, and they will always be like, you know, hook us up. We want to do a Nike commercial, because at the time everybody really wanted to do a Nike commercial. And when those opportunities came, you know, as we said before, we worked very closely with Nike's ad agency, Wieden and Kennedy, with the creative directors. So they knew that it was better for them to call us to get access to the artist than go through the traditional channels.
You weren't trying to call that lawyer and that record company to get
the publishing
price.
The publishing company, right? Yes,
the publishing company. You weren't trying to.
So this opportunity actually came up. It was like Nike Europe, and there was some Neptune song. It might have been like Run to the Sun or something like that. That, funny enough, Pharrell had tried to pitch to me like a while ago, but now an opportunity came. And this is advice for artists too and managers. Keep those brand people close, okay? Even if they can't do the deal that you want them to do automatically, they can't write you a check right in that moment, stay close. It's about like your network, and it's about just maintaining those very close relationships so that when the opportunities internally come up, you're the first person they think of, right? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just keep those relationships going, because that's exactly what happened. So I'm like, oh my God, finally I have something for these guys, right? Now, if I wasn't cool with them, I would have been like, nah, we got somebody mm-hmm. else we can use, you know? But because I had mm-hmm. that really good relationship with them, I was like, sure, let me hook them up. So they ended up contributing a song for, like I said, some kind of Nike Europe commercial. So those were the projects that I did with him, and we stayed really cool. And one thing I'll say about Pharrell, like he like stayed the same every time. You know, we were in an entertainment industry, so there are times you can be cool with people and then you see them somewhere, they act like they don't know you. Like, no, he never, ever did that. And I remember like I saw him like a couple years after I left Nike, and it turned out to be, girl, it was like Kanye West's 30th birthday party, which was a dope party. It was like a very dope party. It was at the Louis Vuitton store on Fifth Avenue in New York. And I remember I went up to, like, I saw Pharrell with probably Rob and Loic, somebody. And I was just like, hey, you know, I'm always a little funny. I don't ever act like I'm like super cool with artists, because you never know. And he was like, oh my God. Oh my God. He was like all excited. And I was like, okay. You know, I was like, wait.
Well, I guess.
I was like, wait, did he think I'm somebody else? And he's like, no, you're the Nike girl. And I'm like, all right, cool. So and he was one of those people I was just like really happy. Most of them I was like really happy to support, because they are like future icons. You know, they have become mm-hmm. iconic, and you can see it. Just like you knew not to do the deal with that other artist. Like, we mm-hmm. had this spidey sense to know who was going to be in this game for a long time. So he definitely was one of those people.
A lot of the collaborations we see today are with celebrities and entertainers. And again, we spent a lot of our career putting those collaborations together. There's always really somebody within the organization stewarding the collaborations. And a lot of the ones I've talked about just in this short little time on this podcast have been very positive experiences. But you know, I had one story that I want to tell that is interesting. It's a little controversial, but it is interesting, because I know that when you have people at brands, especially some of these big sneaker companies, it's a culture. You're being indoctrinated into a culture. And within that culture, you're always thinking about what the first thing is to protect the brand. And we did that, I think, sometimes to our own detriment, like the brand over everything. And not everybody working inside the organization always felt that way. Some people are just there for the name, getting what they can get out of it and just trying to bounce to the next thing. But for some reason, we were always super committed to the brand. And I think ended up that sort of level of commitment ended up bringing us into a standoff with one of the divisions at one of the sneaker companies that we worked for. But when I was at Nike, one of the sub brands there would always be talking about wanting to do a deal with an artist, right? And we were for that. Like, absolutely, let's. But from our standpoint, a collaboration, it has to make sense. Can't be somebody that's going to damage the brand in any way. It can't be someone who doesn't make sense that your consumer would be like, well, why are you doing a deal with them? That just makes absolutely no sense. Can't seem gratuitous. It has to seem like a natural fit. And so this particular brand had come to me, and they had an artist in mind that they wanted to work with, and they wanted to offer this person a sneaker deal. And it would come with their own line of shoes, and it would come with money. It was like a true deal. We have been sitting on pins and needles waiting for this type of opportunity.
Who are ready for the deal? We got a whole list.
Right. But conversely, they didn't come to us and ask for our expertise. They came to us and told us they wanted to do a deal with this person. And I said, you know, no, I do not recommend that. That's not something I would stand behind, and I won't do that deal. But let's talk about some other things. And they were just so headstrong. And because we really were experts in the field, and what that means is that we knew all the players. We knew some of the more intimate details of these people and their lives. And we knew sort of what they had coming next, right? So we knew, like, so somebody could be hot right now. But if I have the type of relationship, and at the time it would probably be with a manager or a record company back then. Mm-hmm. I could look and say, like, what is your plan for this artist? Sometimes record companies would be straight up with me on the low, but just be like, oh, we ain't putting no more money into that. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to release this and it might be hot, but we're done with that, right? And so building those relationships would always have some sort of direct benefit to the brand. So I had happened to have been in town, in this artist's hometown. They were from the Midwest. And I had spent the day with this person. And did everything. Went to play sports, went to eat, went to the recording studio, just the whole day with them and their publicists, and just had a great time. Now, mind you, I did not see anything untoward during my day and my time with them. And I had worked with them previously. I didn't see anything out of the ordinary that made me just be like, call the cops. Never did I see anything like that.
Well, you're lucky, because I had a different experience with this person, and I did witness a few things, so.
You did, okay. So let me get this part out, and then you tell me what you saw. So I didn't see anything. And at that point, I hadn't even really heard any rumblings, right? But in my spirit, when they were like, we want to do a deal with this person, I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. And it didn't make sense for a lot of reasons. Number one is, to your original point, I already have a list of people who I think are way more viable. Number two is, this person's already wearing the product for free. Like, whatever we want this person to do, they will do. But I think it's super risky to do a deal with this person because of just other things that I'm not even going to go into. And that's not my recommendation. And I really stuck to it. And they got mad. They got so mad, Muhammada, that they must have, we probably was every name in the book. Mm-hmm. Not only did they get mad and like thump off, but they took all their toys with them. And what I mean by that is they went and hired a very high priced PR firm in Hollywood to handle all their product placement and do their events, which we were doing for free because it was part of our job.
Right.
And the brand was so popular that everybody wanted. We could still get our hands on the product, but it was so much better having that inside track. Mm-hmm. They got mad, took their toys, went on to that other company, spent a ton of money. Okay, I'm not even being a hater right here. I'm just saying, and you correct me if I'm wrong. I never saw one super hot, super galactic, inner spectacular thing that company ever did that was better than what we did.
First of all, there's no way that there was any other outside company who had better and more intimate relationships with artists in the industry than we did. So, yeah.
And that's two of us, but I promise you with that company, it was like probably 3-4 floors of people, hundreds of people at their beck and call. Mm-hmm. And I still never saw one thing that they got out of that. And I promise you, 1 month's retainer that they paid those people was probably half a year of my salary. Mm-hmm. And this is just me being 100% real.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many of the people at that agency actually looked like us. Oh, I can answer that question. Let me just think. I know of one, but I don't even know if that one person was there at the time.
Wow.
Oh, I also know this about that agency and that one person. She caught hell there. Mm-hmm. So you not only are taking the business away, which this technically that's what they were doing, but not literally. Technically, you're taking the business away. You're taking it over to people who don't understand the culture, who don't care about the brand. Because the only reason I'm doing this is to protect the brand. But because you thought you were going to do what?
No, I mean, I think that goes into play. I mean, remember, we are very young Black women working in these spaces. So our voice and our word and our opinion is very easily dismissed. There's no way you know what you're talking about. That's the kind of feeling. So we talk about navigating corporate America. This is one of those times. They're like, who do you think you are? What do you think you know? There's no way you know more than us. And so very easily to their detriment financially and otherwise, that whole dismission, that was the result of it. But I mean, we saw that all the time. Like people always just kind of like dismissed what we were saying, acted like we didn't know what we were talking about. So.
Yeah, 100%. And when you said that, I just was kind of flipping through my mental Rolodex and there was not one woman on their team. These were all men and they didn't like being told no.
Right.
And so they know that, but here's what they also knew. They knew they couldn't make me do it. Mm-hmm. So they knew that was a fact. So their only recourse was to take their toys and leave. And they ended up, they didn't do the deal with him anyway. And oh, by the way, let's just stop right here. All these years later, that would have been catastrophic for their brand. To be associated because all this person is all over the news right now with a lot of legal issues. And do you think for 1 second that media would not have taken the time? And I mean, they would have been here and they would have had all the time in the world to drag this brand through the list of companies and endorsements because they put so much pressure on record companies to drop this person. They put pressure on streaming services to not play this person's music. They put pressure on radio stations.
From our perspective, I mean, grew up in a entrepreneurial house, right? So marketing just comes second nature to me. I didn't study it at school or anything, but I mean, I approach everything from that standpoint. So even though the artist was huge at selling records, I didn't feel like his personal fashion sense and style was something that was an influencer to like make people on the streets want to buy what he had. Like, so that just didn't make sense to me from that perspective. Like, yeah, he was popular, but like, did people want to dress like him? No, not at all.
Right. But that was my point. That's when I initially said there were a whole bunch of reasons why I didn't recommend, but that was at the top of the list. I mean, there were other reasons as well. Like, you know, But from a brand, a pure brand perspective. So somebody could have a hit song and could be a genius at making a ton, millions of hit songs. However, from a brand perspective, because we're talking about collaboration, when you got to collaborate with someone, in my mind, there should be some sort of really obvious give and get. And if the give and get is just, we're going to give, we're going to put our logo, our brand marks, our brand name, our innovation and our products, we're going to put that on your back. We're going to give that to you to go do whatever you want. And in exchange, you're going to give me the fact that you made a couple hit songs. When, by the way, part of this collaboration that we're going to talk about later is you're going to talk about how you were able to, with Pharrell, use his hit music in some of the brand initiatives that we use, same benefit. Without any of the risk And so in my mind, and I've gone on my little rant, so I'm going to let it go, but not before I say this one part right here. Mm-hmm. Them people owe me a lifetime for that product, for saving you
right
from the backlash that you would have seen had you been allowed to do that collaboration. And I would gladly send you my address and my phone number to make right. good on that.
About Pharrell and sneakers, I mean, he eventually went on to do his own sneakers, the ice cream brand, which was like huge.
Yes. Oh, dope.
Yeah, which was based on Air Force One silhouette, but it was his own company. So that was like huge. And I think eventually maybe he did a deal with Adidas too. Mm-hmm. But his ice cream brand was very, very big. I think they had partnered with some Japanese designers to do some collaboration. So again, you always mention like, you know, if you can't get the deal with one brand, I mean, even artists a lot, I'm just like, I don't know why more of them are not doing their own brands, because they have the following. Sometimes they underestimate like who they are and the impact that they have. They're like begging these brands when I'm like, dude, you can just go rock your own thing.
And I can't even tell you, I can't tell you how many times, but I'm about to be overly dramatic. At least twice I've gotten calls from factories because they're all making the same product from the same, I don't care what name of brand, they're usually using some of the same factories. Mm-hmm. And they are like wanting to do brand deals with people. They have all the tooling, they have all the product, they're making these sneakers every day.
Yeah.
And they just are like, well, can we do our own sneaker collaboration with somebody? Mm-hmm. So now more than ever, the opportunity is there for artists to have literally their own brand.
Well, I think this is another exciting episode of the Soul Chronicles. I mean, I feel like we unpacked a lot just dealing with being women, being Black women in the industry, and just how that impacted our whole experience working in the industries.
Absolutely. I hope people got something out of it, and hopefully you'll tune in for the next exciting little juicy episode of the Soul Chronicles.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Soul Chronicles, the podcast navigating life and times in the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America. Be sure to join us for another exciting episode.